Coming up on this episode of the Solid Pit Podcast, Chris and I are joined by writer, director of Hughes the Force, and creator of the Star Wars debate show, The Comlink, a great friend of the show, J.C. Reifenberg. We also chat about San Diego Comic-Con, The Force Awakens panel, the behind-the-scenes video, anthology films, collecting, and so much more. So buckle up as we get this party started right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All-powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, a podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yoda'sNews.com. And we thank those guys at those websites for their support of the podcast. This is episode 88 for July 26, 2015. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host. And let me welcome in the host and creator of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Mr. Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. What's up, my friend? How you doing?
What's up? Not much. I'm excited. It's been a month.
Everything's good?
Ready to go?
Yeah. You know, we talked last episode about getting back on to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, and we're going to do that today. We're going to have a fun show. No formal topic for the show like we normally do, because we wanted to take a little time to talk about San Diego Comic-Con and some of the things that have been revealed over the last couple of weeks, and we're not going to do it alone. Hopefully, we're going to have a couple of guests to help us break it down. First, he's been on the show many times. You know him from Hughes the Force, and most recently from the very popular YouTube show, The Comlink. Mr. J.C. Reifenberg is here. What's up, my friend?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
It's going good. Hey, we got another guest coming on, Chris, and when he gets here, we'll introduce him properly. But for now, we got J.C. And first of all, J.C., everything's going good for you. I mean, The Comlink is a great show. Anything new on the horizon for you? What's going on?
Just trying to get my business and my personal affairs in order so we can dive back into The Comlink a little bit more seriously and gear up for the race to The Force Awakens.
Yes. You
know, what are we? 150 days away? Less than that now?
Yeah, less.
Yeah. Less than half a year.
Yeah. It's like 144, I think, is what today is.
So, yeah. See, you've just got that info to pull. You got it right there.
It's just like, it's a bam, you got it. Yeah.
6 hours, 32 seconds, 31 seconds, 30 seconds.
It's right there. Star Wars fans, they all know what we're talking about. Yeah, we're counting it down. So, like I said, the YouTube show, The Comlink, man, it's a fun show. I love the show. I'll have to ask you now about this one thing real quick before we dive into San Diego and everything that came out of there. One of your recent shows, you had Jim Cummings and Kat Tabor on the show.
Yes.
And the first topic was the metal bikini. And I don't know if you saw this story, Chris and JC.
Yeah.
It was kind of ran the gamut of the Star Wars websites because there was some father who got offended by the 6-inch figure. Black Series figure of the Slave Leia. And I got to tell you, it's just like, I'm so sick and tired of crap like this where everything is just so, I don't know what it is. It's like, we gotta complain about freaking everything. And I'm so tired of it, man. I wanted to bring it up because personally, yes. This is just me. And it doesn't reflect anybody on Galactic Binder, Yoda's News or whatever. But it's just me, like, I am so tired of this, man. It's a freaking toy, okay? And it's from a movie 30, like Princess Leia herself said, she goes, nobody was offended by it, you know, 30 plus years ago. Why are we so offended by it now? It's just the state of this goofy problem we have with everything's got to be scrutinized and nobody can just have fun and anymore. It's just like we got to complain about things. It's almost like a grab to get attention or whatever. I don't know. Did you guys see the story? Jason,
yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. You know what? I'll tell you what. I don't have kids, but when I was a kid, you would go into a video store and there'd be scandalous or scary video box artwork, you know? And you know what my mom would say? Don't go in the horror movie section.
Right.
She parented me, you know? So if your kid is a little bit on the sensitive side and you don't want that child looking at Princess Leia in a bikini because you're one of the four people on Earth who hasn't seen Return of the Jedi, and you were a deprived child also, I mean, just tell the kid not to look at it.
Right.
Just, you know, like, be a parent. That's that. Exactly. Be a parent and don't try to make a big stink out of it. I mean, has the guy ever even seen Return of the Jedi? Does he even know? I mean, that's the only explanation for it. You know, he thinks that they're just selling, like, I don't know, ridiculous. Does he not know? How do you not know about Star Wars?
Yeah.
He's obviously never been to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Slave Leia's all over the place there.
I know. It's just bizarre. Like, Chris, you saw the story. What do you think?
Yeah, I saw the story. And I just, at first, I kind of shook my head. And I'm like, are they seriously going to, you know,
yeah,
I was thinking,
really? Yeah.
Are the Star Wars sites going to really publicize this? But, you know, of course they did. And so I sat down and I actually watched the news segment on it. And I'm like, okay, the guy said he did not want to make a big deal about it, but he went to a news station to talk to them about it. I'm like, really? So I'm just like, I mean, he was upset and offended that it was Slave Leia and then it had a chain and she was a slave. I'm like, did you not see the movie? Have your girls not seen the movie? And where have you been the last 20 years since they've been selling Slave Leia action figure? And not to mention, this particular figure has been on the shelf for over a year.
Yeah,
so I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
How many women have you ever seen? I mean, seriously, on Star Wars sites and Star Wars fans that they're upset about this particular character. No, they empower this woman because she's the one that kills Jabba.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, really? Where was the wife in this situation? I mean, it was just the dad and his two daughters. So I was just kind of like shaking my head. It's just like, really?
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just going to say, not to get completely off topic, but like, I mean, not off topic, but like, what's the news station doing covering this story? Don't you have other things to cover? Like, kids getting shot in the streets, and like, isn't there real news going on? Aren't there real problems? Or maybe you should report on something like people doing good stuff. Spend the 3 minutes and report on like the guy who saved the elderly woman's cat out of the tree. Like, do something worthwhile. You're just, the news station saw this as, this is a Star Wars story that will get our name out there, and it's just sensationalized. It's ridiculous.
And they said that the news people said that they contacted Hasbro and they have yet to respond. Well, duh, they could care less because it's stupid. And I was just like, did you bother to contact anybody else that was in the Star Wars community and ask them what they thought about it? Ask one of the ladies that dresses up like Slave Leia. Ask her what she feels about it.
Yeah.
Well, why ask Hasbro?
Yeah. Well, Jason, you said it too. It's like, well, you said a couple of things. One, of course, it's a Star Wars story, and in this machine that is The Force Awakens that is coming out, and the Rebels and everything that's been going on, and you know, it's like, hey, it's a Star Wars story. Let's print it because we know everybody's gonna want to click on this and watch it, whatever. But I think the most important thing was it's the parenting thing. Like you said, parent your kids. It's not that hard, you know. If it's something that you don't think they should see, okay, then don't get it for them. But don't deprive of all the other people that enjoy the movies and enjoy collecting and know exactly what it is and what Save Leia and what that whole the story is about. And like you said, Chris, the empowerment of Leia.
Yeah.
So just parent your kids, man. It's not that hard. You know, don't go out there and cry about a stupid figure. I mean, what about all these Barbies that have been around for 50 years? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that don't predict a woman's natural look at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. It's so stupid. And like you said, it's just like, it's a story, and they wanted to capitalize on maybe the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah, you know, Matt, well, we were 13 when this movie came out, and I remember my mom wasn't too happy when she saw that on screen. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, oh, okay, I don't know if I like this, but I guess she never really said anything about it, so however it turned out, I don't know. And if they had to come out with a figure at that time, she would not have allowed me to get it. It would have been that simple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there were shows where, like you said, when I was growing up, my dad would watch the movie first if it was something that I wanted to see, especially if it was some kind of action, violent type of thing or whatever. He'd screen the movie first and then let me watch it and then skip over a couple of portions that he didn't think were good enough for me to watch at the time. And that's all you got to do. It's not that hard. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that kind of bugged me. It's like the world we live in now, it's like everybody's got to complain about something. It's just, I'm so tired of it, you know. Just get over it.
You know, to me, it was kind of, my thought was also is, what is he teaching his two daughters right now? Mm-hmm. Is he teaching them that if he has an issue, go to the news? Seriously?
Yeah. Good point.
He just wanted to be on TV for a couple minutes.
Yeah,
complain about something. Yeah, if you're going to complain about anything, complain about the prices of these figures. going up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something to really complain
about. Something serious, yeah. But anyway, I just, you know, I was watching the comlink and that particular section, and then it kind of tied in with this whole metal bikini fiasco, which is not a fiasco, in my opinion. But anyway, I wanted to comment on that real quick. But, so, let's go to the main thing here. I mean, well, a few weeks ago, of course, San Diego Comic-Con. JC, you were there. You were on the floor, which is cool because me and Chris didn't get to go. But we actually saw, I saw the panel online. Let's just start with, I guess we'll start with the panel first and foremost. That was on Friday. All the stars were there. I kind of felt like being at Celebration, we kind of got gypped as far as some of the panel guests. But hey, it's okay. It's okay. At least we got to see it. You know, at least we got to see it online. The panel, fantastic panel. Everybody was there. We got introduced to the bad guys, quote unquote, the bad guys, General Hux, Domhnall Gleeson. We got Adam Driver and Gwendolyn Christie was there. And of course, the big three, including a crowd favorite, the last guy to come out, Harrison Ford. JC, you were there. Give us a vibe. How was that panel?
It was really cool. Nobody knew what to expect at all. You know, listening to JJ talk about the movie was really cool. There were a few things said that kind of bummed me out, you know, the massive backlash against digital effects is getting a little old and sour to me. And the blatant, avoiding the minefield that is the prequel trilogy, you know? Yes. What was your inspiration? Where did you pull from this story? Episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Was something that you heard constantly over and over. And I know that that is the marketing push on this movie to get guys like the three of us back there because it's the Star Wars of our childhood revisited or whatever. Mm-hmm. But so that stuff kind of annoyed me. It's always easier to point the annoying stuff out first. Sitting in a room with 6,500 Star Wars fans eager to just see or hear anything, the energy there and the anticipation there is something that, and I've said it before, you know, leading up to The Force Awakens, this is the time. This is going to be the last time Star Wars is as exciting as it is now. Because it's been 10 years since we got a movie.
Right.
You know, after Force Awakens, it's going to be Star Wars movies every 8 minutes for the rest of our lives. You know, Rogue One, Rogue 15, Han Solo movie, Chewbacca movie, Jar Jar Binks time traveling movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, Han Solo crossover.
Mashup,
You know, So, you know, this is, and that's actually, I wasn't even going to go to Comic-Con, but I knew that whatever I saw in that panel, it was going to be on the internet within 10 seconds. And so I wanted to see it with the audience to get the, you know, get that excitement, because after December 18th, it's not ever going to be the same.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up as far as like, let's talk about, like you said, the stuff that kind of, because I felt that too, like watching the behind the scenes video, and we'll listen to it here in a minute. And some of the things that the actors were saying on the panel, I got this vibe, and I thought I was the only one. I'm like, am I being too sensitive about this? But it seemed like, you know, like you said, they were talking about, oh, you know, we're doing all this practical stuff. Like it was, you know, this movie's going to be all practical. Like, you know, we're going to go back to the original trilogy. And the stuff like Luke was, not Luke, stuff that Mark Hamill was saying and Harrison Ford, like they were kind of making jokes about the dialogue of the original trilogy, and almost like a slight to Lucas in it for a minute, you know. And I don't know if I was being oversensitive about that. You know, they were talking about, oh, we didn't have to say going to power station, you know, going to Tosche Station anymore. You know what I mean? That line, and Han and Harrison Ford made a comment about he didn't have to say hit one of the lines that was hard to say. And almost like they were digging a little bit at Lucas and this new, like, oh, it's JJ, you know, and look at all the stars we got, and it's, you know, the mystery thing. And I get that. I'm all down for JJ, but I did get that sense that they were, like you said, kind of digging at the prequel trilogy a little bit and Lucas. And I didn't know if I was the only one, but it sounds like you had that same type of vibe, just a little bit, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of vibe that they were,
yeah,
avoiding, you know, the prequel trilogy. You know, yeah, go ahead.
I don't honestly think you're going to go in and watch The Force Awakens and it's going to ignore the prequels. I don't think you're going to see anything in The Force Awakens that contradicts what's in the prequels. I legitimately think Disney's marketing team, the moment the ink, before the ink was even dry on the purchase of Lucasfilm, was like, we're making all these movies and we're selling it as a throwback. Mm-hmm. You know, no right. mention of, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just a marketing thing. I think, you know, when you go out to promote a movie, you're told kind of what to say and what you right. can say and what you can't say, and kind of their angle. So I think a lot of it's that. But I think they just need to like dial it back a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, just, I mean, obviously, you guys watched the behind the scenes video. Guess what, guys? There was green screen in the behind the scenes video.
I saw it.
They're not shooting everything practical. Yep. They didn't build outer space on a sound stage and shoot. You know, like, yeah, come on.
I kind of laughed at that.
Yeah,
you know, it's a modern movie. Okay, right. And the analogy I'll make is if you're building a house. Sometimes when you're building a house, it makes sense to use a nail gun, right? It's a flashy, you know, quick way to get something. And sometimes it makes sense to use a hammer to drive a nail in because it's more delicate area. You mm-hmm. use the right tool for the job. And sometimes right. that is a practical effect, and sometimes that is a digital effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, throwing back to Celebration, BB-8. Was incredible.
Yeah.
It blew my mind away. I felt like I was watching the future 10 feet in front of my face. Mm-hmm. But guess what? In the teaser trailer, the shot of BB-8 rolling over the sand at 9 million miles an hour is a digital
effect. Yeah.
Digital effect. That's right. Not actually BB-8. That's a CG model. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, you're selling this stuff, but anybody who like, who kind of knows movies at all knows that, like, that's not, you know, it's not really the case with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just, another shot from the behind the scenes reel is the shot of the film camera spinning film through it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, guys, guess what? If I shot a movie on film, and I shot a movie on like an Arri Alexa or a Red Epic or something like that, and I screened it for 10,000 people that weren't in the film business, I don't know if anybody could really pick out which camera was which camera. Or I shot it on my iPhone, realistically. Like, most people can't tell. So, like, you know, it's cool, it's awesome, you're being nostalgic, and that's what we all want. But, like, no, but when it hits the screen, nobody's going to be able to tell.
Yep.
Right. Chris, what do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, for me, I kind of agree with what JC was saying, that it was really getting tired, and it was kind of bothering me, them, like, pushing the CG, that we're not doing that anymore. And actually, it was Kathleen Kennedy, if I remember correct, that said this, that made this point, but they didn't emphasize the point enough for me. She's, when they brought that character out onto the stage, she made the comment of how much that practical effects have grown. That's and right. You can see it in that character that was on the stage at how good practical effects has basically a giant leap since so many people have been using CGI for so many years. And she made that point, but they didn't emphasize it enough to say that, hey, the reason we can use practical effects more is because it is so much better than it was at the prequel times. At the prequel times, like JC said, CG was the best tool for that job. Whereas now you can use both.
Right.
And it's going to even be more seamless. Like you were saying, JC, you're not going to be able to tell what's what when you get to the movie and see, because, you know, even though it's a practical effect, I'm sure they're going to use some CG to touch things up, to soften things up, to make it seem seamless. So I was disappointed that they actually said it, but they didn't emphasize that more, didn't make it more of a say, hey, this is why we're using more practical effects, is because it is so much better now than it was when the prequels were out.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I think that too. I think practical effects are great, but the digital effects, they've come so far in the last 15 years since we saw the prequels, you know, and it's going to be, I don't know, I just think they spend a lot of time talking about practical when there's going to be so many digital effects in there. And talking about the behind the scenes reel, you're going to listen to it real quick right here. And we'll get into the positive stuff. I mean, this thing is obviously fantastic. I mean, people were just saying how great this was and coming to tears. But check this out, and we'll talk about this after this plays.
Real sets. Practical effects.
You've been here, but you don't know this story.
Nothing's changed, really. I mean, everything's changed, but nothing's changed. That's the way you want it to be, really. To see the way the technology has evolved, and yet keeping one foot in the pre-digital world.
It couldn't be more exciting. It's still surreal.
We are here on day one of Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah, yeah.
How incredible is that?
I can die now.
All right.
No worries.
My whole life has led to this moment. I'm in heaven.
I think we've worn the suit out probably quicker than we expected, because every time you meet someone, they just want to hug it.
Getting back to the old days, the old ways of doing things.
Yeah. JJ's trying to make sure these movies have a physicality to them. We truly are out in a desert, a real desert.
Star Wars. I'd burn for Star Wars.
And I'm just going to bring this character to life.
You don't get to build an X-Wing every day or a Millennium Falcon. Every day I come to work smiling.
Energy and action!
You have to pause, take a breath, slow down, and really not freak out.
Uh-oh.
I was in the same room, all these legends, and with all these new people, which are all going to be legends themselves.
You know, it's being done with such love and such enthusiasm from everybody, and I think that you'll be able to feel that coming off the screen.
It means so much to so many people. You just know what it's going to be like in the cinema.
Star Wars is an important part of everyone's history. It's a beautiful thing to actually be involved in it.
So, I tell you what, Chris, me and you, we talked about just before JC came on, and we talked about the way that they're rolling this stuff out, and they've been doing with Celebration and San Diego and just some of the, and then the release of the first trailer in November. Man, they are, whoever is involved in this, JJ and Kathleen and the rest of the team, I have to say, I mean, they're just doing a fantastic job about getting everybody pumped for this movie. I mean, we get little tidbits, seems like, here and there, Celebration, San Diego, and then hopefully D23, something else will come out, you know. They are doing a fantastic job with this machine rolling to December, and this video was no exception. Like I said, just before this thing started, I mean, everybody saw this and was like, oh my gosh, this is great. You know, we see just some of the highlights of this video, guys, was like, one of them was seeing Carrie Fisher as Leia. We get to see her in the costume finally, and she looked fantastic. You know, she's sitting there patting JJ on the cheek, like, man, looking like she's having a fantastic time. Harrison Ford looks so great. I mean, the makeup department, I mean, seeing him at San Diego, but then seeing him on the screen, it's like you're looking at two different people. You know what I mean? So the makeup department, for what they did for him in this movie so far, looks great. The real sets they talked about, you've seen an X-Wing, a Falcon, of course. Seeing Daisy Ridley in a cockpit of the Millennium Falcon on the gimbal, doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of filming where you're going, okay, yeah, I kind of get where they're talking about taking this thing back to that kind of filming. So, and just some of that's, I mean, of course, all the other stuff that they showed in there, but that was some of the highlights for me. JC, this video, you got to see this down there. What was the reaction? Any favorite parts of this video for you?
Well, the reaction was, I mean, people, first off, nobody knew what they were going to see. You know, there were rumors that it was going to be footage, but then Lucasfilm came out and said, we're not showing another trailer. And nobody knew what they were going to see. So this was, it was really neat because, like you said, it was a way to get people excited and show them a little bit, but without really showing them. And again, echo what you were saying before is just like, you know, you're so used to, I feel like I've seen the entire Suicide Squad movie already. I feel like I've seen Batman versus Superman already, and it doesn't come out until next year. I don't have any idea what the plot of The Force Awakens is.
Right.
You know, I just don't know. You don't know. You don't know how much the original three guys are in it. You don't know what their roles are going to be. You don't really know anything. And it's cool because they've been able to keep that all secret, where so many movies just, like, you're like, you all, like Avengers Age of Ultron, if you would cut together the movie trailers that came out before the movie, you'd have a 20-minute version of the movie. Mm-hmm. So they're just doing a great job with that. Obviously, people lost their minds. It's just so interesting to see it in an environment where you are surrounded, as far as the eye can see, with people who are as excited as you are to see whatever it is they're about to show you. So that was really cool. The things that stuck out in my mind when I saw it, and it's almost embarrassing, but like the first thing I thought of and the thing that stuck in my head was Nine Num, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's he doing? What's he doing? Is he flying? Like, is he a general now? Can he talk? Are they going to subtitle him? Are we finally going to know what, like, humanomini means? Like, that's what got me excited. Yeah, I'm like, such a loser. But that was, I was like, Nine Num's back. Is he still wearing the red suit with the blue vest? Or does he, like, change weapon?
And what looked like Akbar, right?
An Akbar, yeah. I didn't even pick up on Akbar because I was so excited about Nine Num. Simon Pegg is in it, which I had heard whispers of. I know there's a little bit of controversy there, but like realistically, I think he and J.J. Abrams are like best friends. So yeah, you kind of knew that was going to happen. And I think it's fine. You know, that he's a guy who speaks his mind, and has feelings about things for certain reasons. And, anytime he opens his mouth, people blow it out of proportion. So I'm excited to see him in it. I think he'll be good. The other thing, like just little like tiny things, like the Gonk droid. You guys see the person walking around with the Gonk droid? Like, how cool is that? Gonk droid. Like, why is that? What's going on there? Yeah. Why are they in it? I'll tell you the other thing. I snuck backstage after the panel. Chris Hardwick and Daisy Ridley were, goofing around taking selfies and stuff with the, First Order stormtroopers backstage. Mm-hmm. And, it's so cool because, you know, I saw Daisy Ridley at Celebration and I now again at Comic-Con. I'll tell you what, man, I'm so excited to see her in the movie. She looks like she is having such a good time. Like, you don't, in all the times you've seen her, she's almost giddy to be involved in this thing. And that's really exciting. And the other thing is John Boyega.
Yes.
What a great ambassador for the new era of Star Wars. The guy never has anything bad to say. He is, as excited as we are, and I don't know if Daisy understands quite what is going on. I think it's like being on a roller coaster ride for her, where she's like just looking in every direction and is so excited to be there. I think John Boyega gets it. Like, I think the weight of like what this is isn't lost on him at all. And he's just fun to watch talk about the movie because he was there. But he geeks out as much as we do about it.
Yes. And
I don't know if you guys saw, but they put on face masks and they went out into the Star Wars pavilion at Comic-Con and took them off just as on the big screen they were showing the first Force Awakens trailer.
Oh, really?
And the two of them, like, underneath the big screen, mimed what was going on the trailer. So like Boyega like jumped up off the ground and like walked through the crowd a little bit, and they actually pulled my buddy Elliot Sirota, who is on like at One Eyed Jedi on Twitter, and had him be Kylo Ren and took selfies with him, and you know, like those are the type of people that you want in the Star Wars movie. And going out there like Mark Hamill did when he was a kid, promoting what they're doing. That to me, those things to me were like, that is just the coolest thing. It's just, it feels right. That feels more right than practical effects and shooting it on film and all of the stuff they're selling. They should be selling the casting of this movie because these guys so far have gotten me more excited about the movie than anything I've seen in the trailers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right about that. These were the three that they introduced in the trailer and the first trailer. And it was to me a sense of like, hey, get ready fans. Cause this is your future for Star Wars right here. And like you said, the giddiness that Daisy really shows. And you're right. Boyega is exactly the same way. I mean, these two are so excited about everything involved with Star Wars, and you can't help but echo that excitement. And this is the fact about being in one of these movies. You are going to forever be known as, like, you know, when they say this particular person's name, you think, oh yeah, they were in Star Wars. That's the first thing. Like when you talk about Harrison Ford, it's not all the Academy Awards stuff that he's been involved with. Sure, that gets mentioned, but the first thing is he's Han Solo or he's Indiana Jones. You know, it could be back and forth, actually. But, I mean, everybody that's involved in these movies, that's the first thing. Like, oh, you were in a Star Wars movie. And I think, like you said, the weight of that finally is at least for them, like they know that they're in something special, yeah. Something huge. Chris, your thoughts on the video?
I loved it. I thought it was, we Lucasfilm came out and said that we weren't going to get any, trailer that we were going to, yeah. But they were going to have something special, which it turned out to be really cool. I love this one guy in there. He says, "Leah, yes, we're in the desert. We're actually shooting in the desert." Well, you know what? Guess what? They shot the prequels in the desert too. So, yeah, it's all the same, Yeah. But, everybody talks about Simon Pegg, and I'm kind of over it with Simon Pegg. Yeah, he has, like you said, JC, he has his opinions and he's very strong about it. Personally, I kind of wasn't too excited when they said he was going to be in the movie, but, it is what it is, whatever. But, when you get to talking about the cast and them sitting out there, and you're absolutely right, seeing Daisy, seeing how excited she is, seeing how excited John Boyega is, it gets me even more excited that I can't wait to see the character development and what these characters are going to be. And to me, Adam Driver kind of looked like he was either didn't want to be there or he was just like completely overwhelmed and was really kind of overly shy or something to that effect. But one of the things that I'm sick of hearing about is diversity. Every one of these stinking comic book movies and all the stuff people are hollering about diversity, right. They brought this up to JJ, and he said, yes, we're well aware of that, and we're going to focus on that. To me personally, I don't care. If the movie's good, if you get the right actor for the right part, I'm fine. I don't care what color they are. You know, it doesn't matter to me. And one of the things that I really
let me
like.
Jump in on that real quick. He did say, though, that, or maybe it was Larry Kasdan said, we wrote these characters,
right.
To be non-color specific, and then we found the best actors to play them.
Exactly.
Which I loved hearing. I loved hearing that we went out and we didn't look at color because it didn't matter, and we found the best people for the characters we wrote.
Exactly. That's exactly. I really love that he said that. And I just get so tired of people talking about diversity. So look, if the movie's good, if it's the right actor for the part, then shut up about it. You can't get any better. As long as you get the right actor, you're fine. And one of the things that I do like that John Boyega has done is they have various interviews or whatever, they have brought up the fact that he's a black character in this film. And he has played it down. He hasn't. Really, he's kind of sidestepped it, so to speak. He's played it down, kind of like the same way Billy Dee Williams did back when Empire Strikes Back came out. Every interview he did, they constantly had to bring up the fact that he was a black guy. And he just played that down. He basically ignored the facts. He said, well, in other words, this is Star Wars. It doesn't matter. The right character, the right person for the right part is all you need to be concerned about.
Right. No, it's funny that you said that because even in the panel, I think at least one or two of the questions they asked about, diversity in the Star Wars movies, and are you going to hire more, Asian or whatever it is,
yeah.
Types of actors. And you're right. It's not like, first of all, I'm tired. Don't waste questions at Comic-Con when you could be asking about, like if I was there, you always think, I want to ask a question, but like, oh, I'll let somebody else go. And it's always questions like that, like, really, that's your question? We got a new Star Wars movie and you're worried about diversity?
Yeah.
I want to know, what's going to be about, what kind of lightsaber combat we're going to have? What kind of styles? Who's going to, how's that going to work out? How is that going to differ from the prequel trilogy or the original trilogy? Give me some good question where it tells me about the movie. I don't care about who's playing the dang part.
Yeah, and the other guy that.
Something good. And this whole diversity thing, you're right, Chris. It's starting to go overboard. Like people are worried about, they're trying to make it seem like we have to hire an Asian guy to play a Jedi or something like that or whatever. I don't know. But like you said, it's more about just find somebody who's excited, who's good for the part, like Boyega, who's excited about doing the project. And you're right. It is a huge topic right now, and I'm not sure why all of a sudden it's
and the
like
kind
that.
Of – kind of, I guess, kind of make my point is anybody that's seen the trailers for Fantastic Four, I love Marvel, but I am not excited about seeing this movie absolutely at all. And they have the guy playing Torch is a black guy. Now, granted, this guy is a good actor. He's a good young actor, but Torch is not a black guy. The character is a white character. That's just what the character is. And I don't agree with him changing it like that just because they want to do shake things up or make, you know, diversity.
Right.
Something
don't
like that.
Don't hire just because you want to get, you want to fill some kind of a quota.
Exactly. And, you know, and you're talking about the questions. You know, you talk about the stupid questions people ask. And the one guy stands up and asks about Darth Plagueis. Is he going to be in the next movie? Seriously?
Oh, dude. Oh, that question killed me.
I'm like, you're wasting your time on that question.
Yeah. When you ask the question about Darth Plagueis, one, they can't answer it. If the answer is yes, they can't tell you. If the answer is no, they can't tell you. Right. Two, like, when you're trying to, like, they don't know, it's one line in episode 3, which they've been avoiding oh, come on, man.
I know. It's some of the questions, like, one of these, I guess the next time I'm just going to have to go up and ask one, because I wasn't impressed with any of the questions. And, of course, the panel started off with just, with the three, Kasdan, Kennedy, and JJ. Then we got Daisy and the good, you know, quote unquote good guys. Then we got the bad guys. Then we got the legacy characters, our favorites, you know. So, but the panel, I mean, tell you what, here's one other thing that I got from the panel, guys, and JC, you were there, so you can comment on this too. I mean, we've all seen it. It seemed like one of the main things that came out of it was Harrison Ford going, you know what, it should have felt ridiculous to be here, but I got to tell you, you know, I can't remember the exact quote, but he said he was loving it. I mean, it was fantastic, he said. And he generally seemed like, you know, that was coming from the heart. He wasn't just saying it because he was at a panel. He was actually saying it because, man, he felt like just the wave of the last 30 plus years, and he was back home again, you know? So, JJ, you were there. What'd you think of that comment? I'm sorry, I called you JJ. JJ.
I wish. you know, after the panel, and this ties into what you're saying, they all walked over to watch the Star Wars musical concert. And Harrison Ford, as I understand it, insisted on staying. Like, they didn't have to stay for the whole thing, but he insisted that he wanted to stay and watch the concert and watch the fireworks because he is having so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, cranky old Harrison Ford from the last 15 years disappeared. You know what I mean? Like, he had so much fun. He wanted to sit with 7,000 crazy Star Wars fans and watch fireworks. Like, that says something right there, you know? You know, the other thing I wanted to point out about that panel that I was thinking about when you were just talking about it, Lawrence Kasdan said some very, very great things about George Lucas in that panel.
True.
Nobody else talked about George at all,
right.
But Kasdan made it a point to talk about how this was George's creation, and that everybody was blessed to be able to play in such an amazing world that he created out of his own singular head. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really nice, because you haven't heard a mention of George Lucas from anybody since Disney took over. And I thought it was great that Larry Kasdan took the time to point out that, hey, guys, this is George Lucas's. We're all here because of George Lucas.
And that
to me was probably, honestly, that to me may have been the highlight of the panel.
Mm-hmm. And you're right about that, because here's Kasdan that has a huge, huge part in this story group and this movie and the Han Solo movie that was announced too. Him and his son, I believe, are going to be writing that as well. So this guy is knee deep in this world. So a lot of stuff is riding on him and JJ and his son and Kathleen. So you're right. That was a cool thing. Like I said earlier, you know, it was kind of seemed like the big three in a fun way. We're kind of digging Lucas a little bit with the dialogue and all that, but to have Kasdan come out and kind of say, yeah, like you said, JC, this is the dude right here. I mean, none of us would be in this room right now if it wasn't for him. So that was a nice little shout out to the Notorious GL. Chris, some of the Han Solo or Harrison Ford comments that I kind of, that was the last thing that I kind of got from that panel, was just him. Of course, he came out last to a huge ovation. You know, he got to kiss Carrie, and everybody was talking about that, like they're home again and all that. And they had some playful banter between the between them as the panel went on. But just really cool to see him and how much he seems to be enjoying this whole ride.
Yeah, and seeing him excited just from the beginning has made me even more excited about it. And once again, another stupid question. The first question they asked him was, how are you feeling?
Yeah,
I'm like, seriously? And he's like, I walked out here. I'm like, that was months ago. I mean, what does it take, 6 weeks for a broken bone to usually heal? I mean, come on, people, really?
Yeah.
You know, you laugh at it, and his reaction is just like, oh, okay, well, it's kind of a silly question. But, you know, all in all, I love getting to see the bad guys come out and get to actually talk to them, because we haven't seen anything from them yet. It's talking to them. The question about the lightsabers was kind of funny. What would be your lightsaber color? I thought that was cool. Kind of showed a little bit of each of the characters, and seeing Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and them three together right there at the end, seeing, you know, Carrie and Harrison kiss, that was great. And, you know, like what you said about Lawrence Kasdan, to me, from the very beginning, when George hired Kathleen Kennedy, or, you know, got her to come on board, I was like, yes, that's perfect. That she's a perfect person for it. When they hired JJ, yes, perfect person for it. And then when they got Kasdan to do it, I'm like, yes, he knows the original trilogy. He knows the story better than pretty much anybody you could get besides George or Dave Filoni. And the fact that he wrote Empire, worked on Jedi, and now that he's got his hand in these movies, I'm perfectly content that we're going to have a fantastic movie.
Yeah, no, for sure. That panel, I would kind of wish we had that at Celebration with the you know, with the Bad Three, and then with all the Legacy Trio. That would have been really cool to see them. You're right too. Like, I think Adam Driver, you mentioned him a minute ago. I don't know. I think he's kind of sometimes caught between a rock and a hard place, because he's the character that I'm most intrigued about coming up. And he's got to be so secretive. I mean, they even asked him, like, what can you tell us? He's like, I can't tell you anything. No, he just said nothing. And then I think it was either JJ or maybe Kasdan said, like, well, you can kind of hear him whisper, like, well, you can say something, you know, like, It was kind of a little awkward with him. You know, it seems like a kind of an awkward guy, but
was he just afraid to say something? Was that it? He was just scared of what he might give something away. I mean,
maybe. I don't know. He's just kind of an odd guy, and in some of the interviews I've seen, he's fairly seems like he's a cool guy, but yeah, he's definitely quiet. And he just didn't want to say much. I don't think he was afraid maybe he'd say too much. But Donald, he was not afraid to say, hey, my guy's British, so he's a bad guy. And they showed a picture of him. Cool outfit, you know, kind of brings you back to the old Empire, the way he was dressed. Yes. And then, of course, Gwendolyn Christie, the towering stormtrooper she's going to play. She seemed pretty excited to be there. And
that was great. Yeah.
She, you know what's funniest, too, is like she even kind of threw it out there on Game of Thrones. Somebody said something like, can't remember what they said, but she's like, Game of Who? You know, she knows the power of the franchise of Star Wars. She even made a comment about how much bigger Star Wars is than Game of Thrones. Even though Game of Thrones has a huge, huge following, she made a dig on her own franchise there by saying Game of Thrones. I think it was Game of Thrones. So that was kind of funny. I think the biggest thing, though, or well, not the biggest thing, but one of the most shocking things, and JC, you're going to have a story to tell us here right now, was after the panel, JJ invited everybody to go see a Star Wars concert. And of course, everybody, almost everybody in Hall H filed out and went to the concert and left the next presenter, Kevin Smith, with just a few people to talk to. And of course, he soldiered on. But JC, I know you were saying you had a story about that.
Yeah, so the panel's wrapping up.
Okay.
And JJ says, who likes Star Wars music? And, of course, people go nuts, and he's like, there's a free concert. We're all going to walk over there, you know, single file, orderly, et cetera, right now. We have enough tickets for all of you. And I'm sitting right in the middle of Hall H, so, like, a sea of people in every direction. And I work with Kevin Smith, who had the panel after the Star Wars panel. And so while everybody is super excited to go and see free Star Wars music, I my heart sunk. Because yeah. I was, like, involved in the panel after that. So, you know, in a sea of the happiest people you will ever be around in your entire life, mm-hmm. I was like the wah, wah guy in the middle of that audience. Which was crazy. It was just such a weird, position to be in. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, 2,500 people entered Hall H after just to see Kevin's panel. So it wasn't like...
Oh, okay. It didn't sound like there was nobody there.
There were still a lot of people there, but it's not 6,500 people, you know?
Okay. Well, that's a lot more than... I mean, it made it seem like there was like five people there. So, I mean, 2,500, that's a big crowd.
No, yeah, there was still... There's still a good number of people there. It was just, it's just kind of a bummer. You're prepping yourself to walk out to, this many people, and then there aren't, you know. But it was, the other reason you get bummed is because you go, oh my God, I can't go.
true, yeah.
You know, and then you know what the rumors were. Have you guys heard the rumors of what was supposed to happen?
No.
It was supposed to be John Williams conducting.
Was it?
That's what the rumor is. Yeah. That's what the rumor was. And that he couldn't do it last minute. But he sent a video, hey guys, I wish I was there. Enjoy my music. You only send a video like that when you that's his sorry, I can't make it video. That wasn't to rile the crowd up. So, that would have, had it been John Williams, I think people would have just died right then and there and been really sad because they didn't get to see Force Awakens.
I was going to say, if that was the rumor, I wonder if also he would have given those people just a taste of what he was working on for the Force Awakens. You know what I mean? Like, here's a little, 1 minute little thing I'm working on for, you know what I mean? Like, I bet you he would have done something like that maybe too, right?
Possibly. I don't know. I'm like so ignorant when it comes to like music and musicians and things like that. But how cool would it have been? You know, it's just like, hey, everybody, put your phones down. Here's a minute of new Star Wars music.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, there's that too to deal with about the someone taping it or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I guess Kevin had talked about it on some of his podcasts where JJ didn't know that Kevin had a panel right after the Star Wars panel. Okay. I guess he actually emailed Kevin and apologized and said something like, oh, I feel like Darth Vader now or something like that. JJ Abrams doesn't need to do that. You know what I mean? It was just a nice, cool gesture to one of his friends of like, oh, dude, I'm sorry, I ruined the night. Which I think is cool. You know, it's nice to hear J.J. Abrams is a decent dude.
Yeah, well, like Kevin said, he got to visit the set, and I imagine looking at the schedule, he was like, oh, cool. You know, I get to go on. Not that it's going to help him because obviously he fills up every time, but he was probably like, oh, great. I get to go on after the Force Awakens panel. How great is that? Not knowing he was going to get under that like that, but oh well, hey, JJ apologized and I'm sure he was like, hey, no problem. I got to visit the set. You know, I got to walk on the Millennium Falcon. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a panel, you know. But so that was it. You know, that was some of the stuff that came out of that panel. Just a really cool panel, the behind the scenes video. That was a great little treat. I didn't think, you know, for a minute, I did think we were going to get something new. You know, I thought the biggest stage in the world as far as con is San Diego, and why not show something? But I don't know how trailers work and, you know, what's the standard for, like, your movie comes out at this time, you put a trailer out at this time. You know, I didn't know where we were, but, you know, I just figured we might get something. But, hey, they're really secret about this film. They want it to be fresh. They want, like I said, the what they're doing with it and how they're rolling stuff out has been perfect so far. So maybe D23, you know, maybe we'll get something then. We'll see. Well, maybe we'll get some footage or something new from the new anthologies. I don't know. Of course, San Diego Comic-Con, we can't not talk about collecting. And of course, you know, Hasbro being the big toy company that most of us, as far as collecting goes, we tend to go towards Hasbro. It seems like maybe Hot Toys stole the show, Chris and JC, with something they showed off at San Diego, and that was the 1/6 scale TIE fighter that actually had a sideshow. I think it was a 6-inch TIE pilot in it. I mean, this is how big this thing was. I mean, I've seen some of the video and the pictures of this thing, and oh my goodness, wow. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, this thing was a beast, and everybody was talking about this 1/6 scale Hot Toy TIE fighter. Chris, you saw the image, obviously. What do you think of the thing?
It's not Hot Toys, that's Hasbro.
No, I'm talking...
No. It's Hot Toys. Yeah, the huge one.
The big one. I mean, this thing is like... it's at 1/6 scale. I'm trying to think of, like, it's bigger than the Hasbro one. I mean, it's huge.
It's about 3.5 feet tall.
Oh, okay. Maybe I saw that and thought it was the same thing.
You probably did. Yeah. I mean, this thing is detailed beyond belief. I mean, it was the talk, besides the Hasbro one. They said that this thing kind of stole some of Hasbro's thunder because this thing was massive. And make no mistake, this thing is going to be for the ultimate, you know, have tons of money type collector. I mean, this is nowhere near anything I'm going to be able to afford. I mean, they're talking thousands and thousands of dollars for this thing. But I just had to mention that first, that although Hasbro is usually the king of Comic-Con, Hot Toys kind of stole a little bit of their thunder with this.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, though, that I missed that, because I swear, I must have just thought it was the other TIE fighter that they were talking about, because I remember them doing, they showed the 1/6 scale Millennium Falcon cockpit.
Right.
That was supposed to be available, and I was thinking, really? I mean, that's awesome, don't get me wrong, but I'm like...
Yeah, okay. No, I hear that. Yeah. That's...
If you collect those, that is really cool, though, to think that you can have the Millennium Falcon cockpit. But damn, I missed the TIE fighter. Well, crap.
Yeah, well, you'll see it. Just go on later on, and you'll see it. And this thing is a beast, and wow! It just, that's all you can say is wow. People are going by this thing, just saying wow. But let's talk about it, Chris. Hasbro, not to be outdone. You know, Hasbro's going big now. They're going with this new Force Awakens TIE fighter that I believe is going to retail around 180 or so, give or take some change.
Which is not really a bad price.
Yeah. This thing lit up the floor of Comic-Con as well. JC, actually, did you get a chance to go look at any of this stuff, like this Hot Toys or the Comic-Con or the stuff?
So just to echo what you said, I didn't even know what Hasbro put out, because while I was there, the only thing I heard about was the Hot Toys.
Okay. So it did kind of steal the show.
It was, I mean, it's huge. It is, it's like the size of a nightstand for your bed. It's enormous. It's so cool. And I have to wonder how many they're going to make, because like, where do you even put that in your house? I don't think there's room for it at Rancho Obi-Wan even, you know, like, where are you even going to put one of those things? So I actually missed a lot of the Hasbro stuff wasn't revealed until late in the day on Friday, I want to say.
Yeah.
And by that time, I was already kind of like Force Awakens panel, Kevin Smith, ready to go home.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm looking at it right now. It looks awesome, the Hasbro one.
For sure, yeah.
But the Hot Toys thing was just, you know, and the Hot Toys, Chris, the Hot Toys is an original trilogy TIE fighter, not the Force Awakens TIE fighter.
Right. It's an old school one. And so San Diego, or Hasbro's going with the new Force Awakens ones, which, man, I really got to get one of these. You know, Force Friday is going to be coming up September 4th, I believe. And that's the rollout of all the new stuff that we're going to see from the Force Awakens. And this is one of those ones that they said is going to be on the shelf. And gosh, I have to get this thing. I don't care if I have to like hang it up in the house, you know, flying from the ceiling. I don't know. That's going to go over good with the wife, but, you know, that's just one of those like, wow, that was the big thing to come out. Chris, what for you, as far as the Hasbro stuff, what are you most excited about?
Well, I'm excited just that of the 6-inch that they showed us. You know, we talked about this on the show the last year and a half with Hasbro. To me, it just kind of I feel like they don't care what we think anymore, and a lot of that's due to probably because they stopped doing their Q&As, you know, and that sort of thing. But the fact that they came up before Comic-Con, they did this thing with all the websites of fan favorite 6-inch figure. I thought that was a great idea. And it just so happened the top two voted characters were two that they already have in the works. And, you know, they show us Darth Revan and then Sabine in a 6-inch scale. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm like, it kind of makes you think, well, why did you do the poll if you knew that they were going to win? But the fact that we get to a Kanan in realistic style, Ahsoka in realistic style, really excited to see that. And I wasn't too surprised at what little they showed. I mean, I wasn't expecting to see really anything substantial at all. You know, everybody kept expecting, oh, good, we get to see some of the Force Awakens figures and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, you're not. With the tease that they showed a few weeks before, that everything that you saw was the First Order Stormtrooper in all the formats. And that, in my personal opinion, that's what I was expecting. I expected everybody to show that one character with their packaging. So you got a chance to see what the packaging looked like and with the First Order Stormtrooper, because everybody's already seen it. Everybody knows what it's going to look like. So no big deal. And I really wasn't expecting to see any Force Awakens stuff at all other than the First Order Stormtrooper. And of course we were right. That's cool. We didn't get to see anything except for the TIE Fighter. And I was kind of confused when I saw the TIE Fighter. Personally, I was kind of like, well, why are they doing that and not an X-Wing first? But it's The Force Awakens, so I'm like, okay, so we'll see what else they have to offer. If that's going to be the only big thing that they show or release. And we had somebody, we have a Star Wars Black Series Facebook page that me and Mark run as well. And Dan Curto also is a administrator on there, and we all kind of run that page. And somebody asked me about what we were going to see come September 4th. And my personal opinion, I was kind of thinking that we'll get two waves of 6-inch figures on September 4th. So maybe eight new figures. And most of them will probably be Force Awakens mixed in with some other characters. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't think they're going to overload us right off the bat.
I hope not.
And you know, everybody keeps wondering, and some of the questions that they kept asking Hasbro was, what about the 3¾-inch line? Did they basically put hardly nothing out? And they're saying that they're going to be a big selection. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen on September 4th. Are we going to get a slew of the smaller figures as well as the 6-inch? And, you know, is this going to be like episode 1 again? Are they just going to just slam us with stuff?
That'd be tough.
And everything coming out, it's going to be tough. So if you're into spending the money, you're going to have to put some money back for September 4th to make sure so that you can pick up some things.
Yeah, especially if you're looking to get that TIE Fighter, man. Oh, wow.
And actually, if I could one of the other websites, Imperial Shipyards, who does a lot of custom work on their website, they posted up a Myers store set that is already set for some reason. And they have pictures of just, you know, empty pegs, but you have the labels to see what there are. And there is a $179 Yoda that's supposed to be coming. And somebody else posted up a link to a interactive Yoda, which you, which basically is shot. You see the figure, the form of the figure, but you don't get any light. You can't just see it. You know it's Yoda, but that's all you can get. So it looks like it's going to be a kind of like what the R2-D2 was that we got, that interactive R2-D2.
Right.
But it's going to be Yoda, and it's going to be much better, more articulated, I think, than the R2 was.
Okay.
So that's going to be kind of exciting to see. And $180, whew.
Yeah. That's steep. I'm excited about, I've been, of course, I love the Black Series, and seeing the Ahsoka figure, the Kanan Jarrus, like you said, Jango Fett's on the way, Luke Tatooine. I was kind of surprised about the fan choice. I mean, really? Darth Revan?
Yeah.
Why is an expanded universe character so popular that he wins a poll?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many figures that I can think of, and especially coming from like the Rebels. Second place was Sabine, which was kind of cool. But really, Revan? You know? I don't know. What's up with that? I mean, I guess it's a cool-looking character, but
yeah,
I don't know. Never
was one of my favorites.
I don't really care about.
Yeah, not really one of my favorites. I was actually kind of surprised that there were so many original trilogy and prequel characters voted into the poll. Mm-hmm. Especially some of the original trilogies. You know, I voted for the Gamorrean Guard, the Red Royal Guard, the Snowtrooper. I'm like, these are all, I know they're going to make eventually. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, these are the ones I want. You know, I really want a Gamorrean Guard at 6-inch scale. If they could if they could just upscale the last one they did, oh, that's going to be freaking amazing.
Yeah. but of course, you know, everybody's talking about that 26-inch TIE fighter that I believe comes with the pilot as well, if I remember right, the First Order Elite pilot, I think it comes with that. So
that is
going to be huge. That's going to be, kind of even talk about, man, where are they going to put this on the shelf? And it's so giant.
You should hang that over your bed.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Yeah. And hopefully we'll get, like you said, the X-Wing to go with it. That'd be a cool little thing. So, anything else from, Hasbro or collecting, Chris, that came out of San Diego that you're excited about?
Not really, because I'm kind of not collecting much of anything else other than Hasbro 6-inch right now and Lego. And really, the Lego, of course, we got Zip on Lego. They can't talk about anything.
They talked about that for obviously the Stormtrooper. They showed a picture of that. Yeah, but that's like you said,
that
wasn't.
Yeah, that short line that they're apparently going to bring back that they had tried doing years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I will tell you one set that I know for sure is coming is Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
It's going to be like $140. So actually leaked online a couple weeks ago some pictures of that and another set that I can't think of right this minute. But so we got some early pictures of the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's Legos are so dang expensive. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
They are.
You know, my son was just looking at some Legos, and he's like, Dad, I want to get some Legos, some Star Wars stuff. And he's, you know, of course, he's looking at, like, the Super Star Destroyer, and, you know, it's got 3,000 pieces, and it's like
$400.
You know, you can't even find that thing anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Even the stuff at Walmart, you know, it's like just a small AT-AT. It's like $100. I'm like, dude, I mean, this is like Christmas stuff. I can't just go buy it just because you want to build some Legos all of a sudden.
Yeah, Lego does a great job with their sets. They're getting better and better, especially Star Wars. But yeah, you're right. The ones they just now released, like the Imperial Shuttle, is $100, and it's, you know, scaled down, obviously. But still, $100, and like you said, the AT-AT, $100. And
forget, there's no way. You know, it's like he's got buckets of Legos. Like, go up, build your own up there, you know, piece together something and, you know, try to do something on your own because I can't afford that.
But that's not accurate, Dad. Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hey, get creative. So I guess we'll finish up with something that was just recently, over the last month or so, we got confirmation that Han Solo is getting his own movie. One of the anthology movies is going to be Han Solo. Chris, I know you're pretty excited about this.
Yes.
I'm kind of like on the fence. Like, of course I'm excited because it's Star Wars, it's Han Solo. Wouldn't be my first choice for someone to get their own movie. I was kind of hoping that we'd get, you know, I kind of like Boba Fett. I want to see what happens to him if it was done right. Han Solo, we kind of, I don't know, I guess it's cool. It's just going to be weird to see somebody else besides Harrison playing Han Solo. And of course, they, you know, they got a good team on this. Let me say this off the bat, though. They got a great team. Of course, they got Kasdan, like I said earlier, and his son doing this. And the writers of the Lego movie, or the directors of the Lego movie, Christopher Miller and Phil Lord, on board to helm this thing. So, I mean, all those pieces, it's like, okay, man, it's off to a great start as far as that's going. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully they'll get me excited about this this Han Solo movie. Chris, what's your thoughts on it? I know you said you're pretty excited.
Yeah, I was excited off the bat because they said we get to see how he became a smuggler. So I'm like, great, are we going to get to see how him and Chewie met? Are they going to change that story of how originally they did it, where Han saved Chewie from an Imperial concentration camp from being a slave? Are they going to change that? Is it going to be the same? You know, but to me, I'm excited, but I'm scared too, because casting is huge.
Right.
Is a huge thing on this one. You have to get the right person to play Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's kind of like talking about the Rogue One. I saw that, you know, trailer that they made for it. It wasn't real footage, but it was really, it actually did get me excited to know that Edwards is going to take a different approach, you know, take a more gritty approach. Like I said, I might have said this before, he's a fan of a lot of the war movies, like your Black Hawk Downs and stuff like that, and he's going to kind of tailor it kind of like that. So I was kind of interested. I mean, we all know what happens in this part of the story, so there's not going to be, I don't know if there's going to be huge shocks, but what intrigued me was that you might get some possibly Rebels characters could be involved. You never know.
And are we going to get Leia?
What's that, Chris?
And are we going to get Leia?
So yeah. JC, your thoughts on Han Solo and Rogue One and what they're doing with these spinoffs?
I'll jump in on Rogue One first, and I'll tell you, I'm almost more excited for that than The Force Awakens, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. We've seen a Force Awakens TIE fighter now. We've seen the Stormtroopers. We've seen all that stuff. And it's cool, and it's new, and it's definitely different. Every stormtrooper in Rogue One is going to look like the stormtroopers in A New Hope.
Yes.
The Death Star is going to look like the Death Star. You, with The Force Awakens, are going to... it's like Back to the Future 2, right? You've lived in 1985 for all this time, and now you're seeing what 2015 looks like in the Star Wars universe. But really, home is 1985, and Rogue One is that world. Mm-hmm. The X-Wings are going to look like X-Wings. They're not going to look like new X-Wings. They're going to look like the X-Wings when we were kids. And Darth Vader's going to be in that movie, guys.
Like, I know, yeah.
He's going to be in that movie. And not like Darth Vader's burnt mask, and not like cartoon Rebels Vader. Like Darth Vader. The Darth Vader... That to me is really cool.
And Tarkin.
Man, it's just going to be neat because it's going to be familiar. It's not going to be like, it's not like Mark Hamill. Like, this is all stuff you know, but you've never seen it like this. Rogue One is, this is all stuff you know, but it's a new story with the stuff you know. It's like Gareth Edwards playing with our action figures, not playing with like new action figures he made. So it's real. That to me, Rogue One, I'm so excited about. I got to be honest. I'm going to sound like Debbie Downer here. I don't want to see a Han Solo movie, man. It is a magical moment where you meet Han Solo in the Mos Eisley Cantina. It is anything that you do prior to that is going to pull away from the fact that when he comes back to save Luke, at the end of A New Hope, that is the moment where he becomes a sympathetic character. That's the moment where he becomes a man. That's the moment where you know he's a good guy. Right. And if you put him in a movie before then where he is giving glimpses of how he's going to become a good guy, his character arc in A New Hope is cheapened. And his character arc between A New Hope and Return of the Jedi, you're like, oh, this is the guy who did this in that movie. And this is the guy who did that in the second Han Solo movie. And he's a good dude. Of course he's going to come back and say, like, you lose. I just feel like he's a character where he's best left with the introduction he has, with a mysterious past, with kind of a shady past. I just don't know if I want to see it, guys. I feel like it's going to overly inform his character throughout the rest of the movies. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Love to see a Boba Fett movie, because honestly, who cares about Boba Fett? Like, if he's a good guy here and a bad guy here, like, I think that's neat. Like, let's watch a movie about a bounty hunter, you know? But Han Solo, it's kind of like, I don't know, man, it's kind of like rewriting the backstory on something that, like, is perfect as it is in my mind.
See, I'm glad you brought that up, because, like I said, I was on the fence. And you make a serious case for to question, like, man, this is really going to be a tough one, because you're right. I mean, and we get introduced to Han and he is kind of like on the fence. I mean, you're not sure about this guy. I mean, he comes off he's kind of like a bad dude, you know. I mean, for first until, like you said, that moment where he changes, and I think Chewie has a lot to do with him coming back to help Luke.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, how do you do a Han Solo movie where he's younger and you mess with his story in A New Hope to where, I mean, in a movie, it's like he's going to be, quote-unquote,
he's got to be the hero.
Hero, right? Yeah, exactly. And when you get introduced to him in A New Hope, he's like, you're not sure where he is. And how is that going to play out? How are they going to do that? It's really interesting to see. And that's going to be one of the hard parts of selling a Han Solo. Like you said, Boba Fett would be kind of easy, because I want to see him coming out of the Sarlacc and maybe going on from there. And you can have tons of adventures that way and not know what's going on.
Or beforehand.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. It's going to be one that Kasdan and his son, man, I hope. I have total confidence in this writing group. So, I mean, they haven't, so far from what I've seen, as far as Rebels and stuff like that, they've been doing a good job. So we'll see how that turns out.
I think it'll be well written. I think it'll be a fun movie. I just think the implications it has on the Han Solo we know and love is something that I there's like something magical about Christmas when you believe in Santa Claus, and it's because you don't know. You know, and that's kind of how I feel about Han Solo. It's just like, he's a Christmas present in A New Hope, the way he comes back. You know, he's, I just don't want to know. I don't want to see behind the curtain, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's Wizard of Oz again. Like, I don't want to know that behind the curtain, it's this little man pulling buttons and knobs. I want Han to be like, we got an origin story with a hero. We've got Luke's origin story. Episode 4, A New Hope. I don't want to see Han's origin story. Han's origin story is A New Hope. Like, that's where he becomes who he is. I don't know.
Right.
I'm probably just being like an old advisor, totally, like holding something sacred and putting too much importance on it. But it's, you know, I can't.
Hey, I was on the fence too, you know. I wasn't sure. And you bring up some very important points, and I totally understand that. And it is questions that we'll have until we see this movie. And what you said about the Rogue One stuff, I mean, again, we saw the trailer. Those of us that were at Celebration, and we were very excited what we were seeing, even though it was all just made up stuff from Lucasfilm. But then when you get to hear more about where Gareth Edwards wants to go with it, and to the fact that we see maybe these can you imagine seeing Vader, you know, on the screen again? I mean, how exciting is that for me? Like, holy, he's my favorite character. And to see that we might get to see him on the screen again, I'm totally pumped for that. And so, like you said, go ahead.
Oh, it's just, I'm getting excited now. It's a Star Wars war movie. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we are watching, like, maybe Saving Private Ryan with, or Apocalypse Now, or all of these great war movies. We're watching a war movie set in the Star Wars universe. That to me is neat, you know? And I've said it a lot. It's like, I would love to see a film noir Boba Fett movie, you know, LA Confidential style or Chinatown with Boba Fett. I want to see, that's what I want to see with these spinoff movies. You know, I don't want to see Galactic Adventures. I've got episode 7 to see a Galactic Adventure. I want to see Top Gun with X-Wings.
Yeah.
Show me Top Gun with X-Wings. Show me Wedge Antilles when he is in basic training. You know, and he meets Hobby for the first time, and they don't get along. And, like, Hobby saves his life, and now they're best buds, and that's why something in Empire Strikes Back is so much more meaningful now. Like, that's what I want to see with these.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, good points. Chris, any final thoughts on these anthologies?
Well, you know, I never really thought of it the way y'all were talking about the Han Solo movie. Now that kind of concerns me. That kind of makes me think, well, that maybe they don't need to show how him and Han, I mean, Han and Chewie got together, because that would kind of lean him towards the good guy. But, yeah, they would need to focus on him just strictly being a freaking scoundrel and just out for himself, or him and Chewie. And it would be fun seeing him with Lando at some point, but, yeah, that's a tricky slope. And
Yeah,
the first big thing is they've got to cast it correctly.
Yeah, that is a big one too. I mean, wow, trying to take over for Harrison. Wow, I imagine that whoever gets hired to do this is going to have to do a lot of watching of the original trilogy and whatever else Harrison
and Rogue One. Like you said, I'm just expecting the Rogue One to be very intense.
Oh, for sure.
That's what I want to see. Like they said, when he said a real war movie. Yeah, like you said, JC, you think of Saving Private Ryan, something that just like, is it really that real, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what it's really like?
Hey, guys, did they stream the Gareth Edwards panel online from Celebration?
I believe they did not, because they did show, which was turned out to be just like, I don't want to say a fake trailer, but just something they made up. There was no footage. I think that's why they didn't do it.
So I was at that panel at Celebration, and something Gareth Edwards said got me more excited than anything about Rogue One, which was, you have to think that this is a galaxy full of people who have always had the Jedi to take care of their problems. They had magicians, essentially Jedi Knights, there's a bad guy out there. Don't worry, the Jedi will take care of it. Oh, there's some giant problem over there. Don't worry, the Jedi will take care of it. Mm-hmm. It's like Superman, right? They had their own Superman to police the galaxy. And he said, this is a world where these people have to take accountability for their own lives for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, to me, one, sounds super serious, but it sounds super interesting, because he's making a movie about people like us.
Yeah, common
that
people.
All of a sudden have to stand up for ourselves, because we don't have our magicians to solve our problems anymore. It's just a neat idea. It's a neat approach.
Yeah, I was at that panel too, and he just came off like half the time he was swearing. He was like, "Man, this is going to be," you know, he'd say, "great," and, you know, this and that, and he's the whole gritty type of thing, and they showed some concept art of some stuff going on, and just the trailer itself, how it ended with the calm chatter of just like total chaos, and like we talked about earlier, to have maybe Vader involved in that and the whole deal is like, wow, man, this thing is be shaping up to be something I'm really excited for. At first I admit I was like, oh well, you know, we kind of know the story already, so I'm not really too amped up about it, but then seeing that and all the stuff we've learned over the last few months, and to know that it's actually filming right now as we speak, It's hard not to be excited about that now. So,
and is the Emperor going to be in it as well, or is he just going to be?
Yeah, I know. Think of all the great characters you could have if you wanted to. They did say no Jedi, of course, but
right, because they're not there.
All the other great characters, you know.
Yeah, because for sure. I mean, naturally, if you think about it, they're not going to be there because Obi-Wan doesn't come in, out of hiding until after the plans are stolen. So.
Yeah, and they did say no Jedi, but can you imagine if they had a scene where Vader, you know, is out and about with his lightsaber just chopping down these guys left and right? I mean, woohoo! Sign me up, man. I'll be waiting in line for that one, you know? It's like, that's what I want to see.
There might be some, like, Kanan that are hiding, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, of course. I mean, just still, like, we know that there's still Force-sensitive kids and people that are in hiding, you know, that we know that that some of these Jedi made it through Order 66. So
you know, I was listening to the Star Wars radio dramas yesterday, actually, and that got me excited thinking about Rogue One, because mm-hmm. you start listening to the parts where Leia and her father are talking about it's time to stand up and fight for what we believe in. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what kind of situation we're going to be looking at. It's going to be like what we're seeing with the Rebels on a huge war scale, which
For sure.
You know what spinoff movie I want to see? I want to see a like a ABC Family style drama, like comedy drama, like think Full House or Family Matters with Chewbacca and Lumpy and Lobaka and like his extended family. Like it's like 100 years in the future, and all of Chewie's friends have died, and he's gone back. And he's been gone for 300 years, and he's got to like earn the trust of his kids back, and like, you know, and deal with all those things, and put that on Disney Channel. What do you guys think about that one? Dust off the old holiday special suits from the Lucas archives.
Oh wow!
As long as we have some subtitles, because if you remember that holiday special, first like half hour was just growling and no subtitles.
Yeah, what the heck is going on here?
C-3PO can make a guest appearance to like translate every once in a while. No, oh, you think that's the one to go with?
Full. Let's see. Full, what was the full Kashyyyk? I don't know, man. What Full House? Yeah, I don't know.
Treehouse, Chewbacca's
Treehouse. Yeah, for sure. Wow. Hey, there's so many things you can go, man. Throw it out there. Throw it out there, GC, see if they like it.
That's Kevin's always talking about doing a Jar Jar Binks time travel movie.
I did hear about that, yeah. I've heard Jar Jar mentioned a few times, yeah, for sure. He's making a comeback. Everybody likes him now. Chris, anything else?
Boshek. What about a Boshek movie? He's out there flying around, just being Boshek, making sure your sideburns keep looking good.
Oh, it's looking good.
Playing like gigs as Elvis every once in a while.
It's like a remote, yeah, for sure. Hey, there's so many places you can go with this. Everybody can have. Just think of somebody, throw them out there. You know?
Yoda. I still would like to see something with Yoda.
Do you? Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a movie with him on Dagobah, even though it could be boring, would still be interesting for me.
Dude, like Castaway. Castaway.
Oh. Yeah.
You gotta have Qui-Gon in there, though, too.
I mean, obviously he'd be teaching Obi-Wan how to commune with Qui-Gon and stuff, but yeah, it'd be basically like Castaway. Mm-hmm. That'd be very interesting.
I want to see a movie about Moff Jared before he takes over the Death Star, when he's just like, he's a guy who can't.
When he's data entry or something?
Yeah, he's like data entry on like the first Death Star, and he like takes a vacation, he gets to leave, and then the Death Star blows up, and then the Emperor's like, we need some idiot who's not as powerful as Tarkin to run the next Death Star. Who's this idiot? And Jared's like, me? Whoa, I'm 2 weeks from retirement, man.
Yeah. Want this? Oh, for sure. Man, hey, it's endless where you can go with this stuff, man. Chris, anything else going on lately that you want to mention, or is that it?
No, it's kind of like,
can you catch it off?
Do you have anything that you expect or what you want to see from the D23 that's coming up here next month?
You know, I've heard some things about getting some more details about the anthology films, which would be kind of cool. Of course, we talked about Rogue One, so anything from there. I obviously know shots or anything like that, but maybe some more concept art or maybe some more casting announcements or story ideas would be kind of neat. And of course, I'm always going to say this. I mean, if we got anything from The Force Awakens, any footage or anything else that they can throw at us, I mean, they've shown at the last big, obviously, conventions in San Diego and Celebration, they've given us some really great video stuff and some more character introductions. So D23, if we got anything more from The Force Awakens, I know it's going to be in August, which we're still quite a ways away from December.
Right.
And again, I don't know how trailer stuff works, but, you know, of course I'm going to hope to see some kind of video footage from that, from The Force Awakens. So that's kind of what I'm hoping
since
for.
Since JJ and since they said at San Diego, it'll be this fall. I don't think we'll get another trailer at D23, but I think as usual, we'll get something really cool like we did at San Diego Comic Con. I'm kind of curious at what they are going to do with the trailer. Are they going to wait and stick it on a movie and put it in theaters for the first time and then put it online? That kind of seems like a fun thing to do, because you'll get everybody going to the theater to see some movie, or to go in and see the trailer and then leave like I did.
Well, just sell tickets to the trailer, man. Don't even.
Yeah, about moneymaker.
That would be it. That'd be cool right there, yeah. We're going to show the trailer 5 times straight, so buy your tickets. You know, there'd be we'd pay $10 to go see that.
Yeah.
At least.
Oh. If there's one thing we found out over the last, you know, since they did the original trailer back in November, is they are doing it, you know, differently. I mean, I was shocked that we got something in November, like that little teaser. I wasn't shocked that we got something at Celebration.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they kind of surprised us with that behind the scenes video, which you don't normally see until after the movie comes out. You see stuff like that. So, if it's one thing we know is they are surprising us, and hopefully at D23 we will get something. Hopefully, some kind of surprise, and it doesn't have to be Force Awakens, but
right. Well, maybe they'll give us a little something on Luke.
Maybe, yeah, that is one person that they've really kept. They've kept kind of in the dark. I mean, we all assume that's him in the second trailer where he's petting R2, which it should be, but you never know. But it'd be kind of neat to get some kind of to see what he's going to look like. I mean, we kind of have an idea with the beard and all that, but it's so different to seeing Han or seeing Harrison in that trailer and to see him now, just the makeup job they did. And then we saw Leia in this behind the scenes video, Carrie Fisher. She looked fantastic. So, yeah, definitely be cool to see Luke, but we'll see. We got a few more weeks. August is right around the corner here, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, we'll get something. But that's what I'm excited about. That's what's been going on in the world of Star Wars over the last month or so. JC, anything you wanted to mention? Anything going on? Anything you wanted to plug before we head out?
No, you know, the last thing I'll say is you've mentioned it a few times, and I heard a few people mentioned things at Comic-Con too. Having been in the room for the Comic-Con trailer or the Comic-Con panel, and having been in the room for the Celebration panel, I would say that the Celebration, even though Harrison Ford wasn't there and things like that, to me that was like twice as cool as the Comic-Con one. So anybody out there who's listening who was at the one at Celebration and missed the Comic-Con one and feels ripped off, don't. You were at the one that I feel at least was so much cooler by a long shot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that too, yeah.
It just, you know, everybody's there for one reason, right? Which is Star Wars at Celebration. And Comic-Con, it's, even though the room size was a little bit bigger, like, it's not the same. It's just not the same as Celebration, and it didn't feel the same. And as cool as Harrison Ford and the Star Wars concert that I didn't go to is, Celebration was like being in a room with your family watching something that like watching a video sent to you from your relative you haven't seen in a long time. Comic-Con felt like a convention. It felt like a show. felt like going to see the circus, you know, which is fun and really cool, but it didn't have the same emotional impact as the stuff in Celebration. So that's what I will leave you all with.
That's, you know, I was going to ask that earlier about, you know, what did you think was better, or because a lot of us, of course, couldn't go to San Diego. And when you see the panel like that, and you go, oh, wow, it must have been better. Because look, they had all, you know, the original Harrison was there. They got the three new bad guys who showed up, and they got a behind the scenes video. But to know that what we got in
BB-8
in
Anaheim, on stage.
Yeah, that was huge. That was big.
You got.
Yeah, that set the tone right there.
The First Order Stormtrooper reveal on stage. You got, and it was the first time you were seeing John Boyega and all these guys. And Daisy, and J.J. Abrams out there, and Kathleen Kennedy. And you got a real trailer. Luke's voice. Mm-hmm. Chewie, we're home.
Right.
You know, you saw that stuff.
That was special, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was, man. Oh, yeah. I wish I could go back and do that again.
Yeah, that was special to see that trailer for the first time when you got the home. I think that We're Home thing was, of course, coming out with BB-8, that set the tone, and then finishing out with We're Home was just on so many levels, so many different things were going on with that. It was so cool to see that. So knowing that you were at both and you thought that those of us that were at Anaheim probably got the better show was kind of cool. So. With that, Chris, anything else you wanted to say before we check out?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think y'all summed it up with the Comic-Con and the Celebration.
Yeah,
pretty accurate.
For sure. JC, man, it's always great to have you on, man. It's always fun. We always have a great time. And getting your insight into what was going on at San Diego and the panel and the behind-the-scenes stuff, it's always great. So thanks for coming on, man. Continued success with everything that's going on. I know you're just as busy as always, huh?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Hopefully next time I'll have some more cool Star Wars updates. Oh, I know what I can talk about.
Okay.
Oh, I totally forgot. So if you guys have been, I'm crazy. If you guys were at Celebration and saw the James Arnold Taylor, Mark Hamill double feature, or if you have been at Star Wars Weekends at all this year, you may have seen a short film called Summer 78 that I did with James Arnold Taylor and a few of our other friends. Hopefully we'll be able to get that up online pretty soon. We're in the final stages of negotiating the trickiness of using music that we don't own.
Right.
Fingers crossed that we can get that up online for everybody to see very, very soon.
Matt,
for sure.
Did you get to see it?
I did not get to see it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this. Now, are you, as far as online, are you talking like...
We'll put it up on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, YouTube. Okay. YouTube. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I will say this. I got a chance to see it, Matt, and I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was so cool. Talk about... It just brought back a flood of memories of being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this at the panel that you guys showed this?
It played before James's one-man show at...
That's why I missed it then.
Yeah, which they did not stream.
And then they played... it played before James's shows at Star Wars Weekend.
Okay, good.
Oh, so you got some good exposure at Disney then. All right.
Yeah, sure.
So
that's exciting. Good for you, Matt.
Here, Matt, I might be able to send you a... sorry, Starlight Fit fans, but I'll send you a private...
Oh, I got it right. Oh, nice. Okay, I got it right here. I'll check it out, dude. That's probably why, because being at Anaheim, things are so crazy when you're there trying to see everything. It's kind of hard to do. So that's probably why I didn't get a chance to check it out. So I will definitely look at this. I got it right here. Sorry, fans. Just for me only. I love it. Awesome. Cool. So that's going to do it for us, man. JC, again, thanks, man. It's always fun. Love having you on the show. That's going to do it for this time. So we thank everybody for joining us and making us part of your Star Wars day. Thanks again, and we will see you guys next time in the Starback Pit.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com.